Welcome to On the Brink, a fresh lens to take you and your business to new heights. Hi, I'm Andy Simon, your host, and I'm here to help you get off the brink. As you know, our podcast, I guess we're moving into our fourth year, and it is always a pleasure to find people who are going to help you see, feel, and think in new ways so you can really rethink your own life and your journey and where it's taking you and how you want it to change at this important moment, for whatever that moment might be. So I go looking for people who have a different perspective, something in their own journey that's worth sharing, so that you can learn from them and begin to think about yourself with some new, fresh ideas. And that's our job today. So I'm absolutely honored to have Matthew Corbin. Matt is a certified health and life coach. He says he spent 25 years connecting with people, and I think he's 26, but that's okay. We will have some fun with it. He was an international marketing consultant and a passion coach now, who helps executives restore balance without compromising their careers, relationships, or health. Now, we often talked about this life-work balance, but I must say that in a world of remote working, it's even more serious a problem or challenge, since I have clients who are working at 10 and 11 o'clock at night, and the emails never seem to stop, and they're not quite sure how to handle that sense that they must be always engaged, even if they have children, a husband, other interests. It's a very interesting time. This is important. As an eight-figure business owner, Matthew understands the demands of business and the stress of building something from the ground up as an entrepreneur, which is why he's passionate about helping others achieve this balance and be successful. He was at the top of his career when a near-death experience turned his life around 180 degrees. And he's going to tell you about that because he had a crisis. When we're working with organizations and their leaders, we often say, if you really want to change, have a crisis or create one. I didn't plan on COVID, but Matt is shaking his head because unless there's a real catapult pushing you out of what you're comfortable in, you're not going to want to do it and your brain's going to fight you the whole way. But this is important. So he now trains audiences on how to connect to their passion, reignite relationships, and find balance in their lives. His partner is also his best friend. I love that. I'm married to my husband 52 and a half years, and he is my best friend, and we laugh a lot. People say, how do you do it? I say, we just giggle a lot. You have to. His best friend and wife, Marina, is a certified yoga instructor, and together they live in Powell, Ohio, with Stephen and James and their sweet dog, Prince, and their playful cat, Lucy. Not everybody includes those wonderful wraps around their lives the way Matt does, but I'm absolutely thrilled to have Matthew with us today. Matt, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
Tell the listeners about your own journey, because this is important to you, and you've got a very special story to share. Please, Help us.
First, thanks for having me. Yeah, it's been amazing journey, honestly. And sometimes we forget to be grateful or just to look at the positive side. And the journey I'm gonna tell you about includes a lot of bad memories for me and griefs and suffer. But we always come out stronger and with something very positive. I'm going to start the day I was born, in 1976. I was born in Lebanon, Beirut. And 2 months ago, I used to tell the stories on stage, and I used to say Beirut, and nobody knew about Beirut. And Beirut is a beautiful city. And now everyone knows about Beirut because they saw the explosion. And it's sad that people get to know our beautiful city by seeing the disaster. But It's been going on since I was born. So I was born in 1976, and there was war. And I remember the first 13 years of my life, I used to hide in shelters. And whenever we go to school, we used to hide under the desks. And I used to hold my friend's hand and run to the shelter and hide under the desk. And our game was guessing the numbers. And it was like, we used to sit in shelters and say, that's an 80, no, that's 115, that's 120. And those were the calibers of the cannons that were hitting us. And it was a game for us as kids. So this was my childhood. And usually your childhood like programs the way you grow up. And because I had this rough childhood and I kept on moving every couple of years, we kept on just running and looking over my shoulder, I used to see my house burning, and we run, and sometimes we had to sleep and hide in forest and in some places for days, just sleeping under the sky. So at the age of 13, I left Lebanon And I went on my journey to continue my school in Switzerland and in France, which gave me my accent today because French is my first language. So I finished school, I finished college, I came to the States for college, and then I started working. And since I have multiple languages, I can talk many languages, they sent me my American company here, our Chicago, they sent me to Dubai, and I started working in Dubai. And this is where I started planning for my near-death experience that I'm going to tell you about. And I didn't know that I was planning for this. All I wanted to do is just work hard, get a career, and have a family and give my kids a decent life, not like the one I had. I want to give them something nice and something free. So I started just putting my head into work. I started working more than 15, 16 hours a day. And sometimes asking for jobs, just challenging myself, challenging the human nature, like asking my boss, what is the toughest thing that nobody ever did? Give it to me.
Wow.
And I will do it. And this has been my life for I don't know, until 4 years ago. So 4 years ago, I reached a place where I cannot walk anymore. I was like 350 pounds. A huge, leading unhealthy life, but hey, I was very successful. I mean, I was the CEO of the top companies in the world. I was sitting on the board. I was the youngest CEO of these companies. I was receiving awards and recognition. I was the star. And when you get to this stage, you forget your real objective. You forget that you're doing this for your family, and you start doing it for your own pride, just to be happy with it. And I went to the doctor. I told the doctor, listen, doc, I can't walk. There's something wrong with my knees. He was like, yeah, it's your weight. I said, no. But with all the technology, you can do something like make me Iron Man or whatever. I have the money. Just take the money. And he said, okay, fine. Let's have some tests. So we did all the tests. And 5 hours later, I woke up on this table and I see the doctor on top of me and reaching his head in front of my face and spreading his fingers in my face. I was like, what is he doing? Is he trying to high-five me or what is this? And he goes like, can you count my fingers? I was like, okay, it's another. Yeah, it's 5 fingers, doc. He's like, no, these are 5 months you have to live. It's like, what? He says, yeah, you have a huge thing happening inside you. I'm going to go into the medical stuff. It's a big inflammation and your whole blood and spleen and intestine, everything, they're contaminated and you have 5 months to live. So you have the money, right? I was like, yeah. He said, okay, good. You have a family. Just go spend your money with your family, live for 5 months and that's it. And it just hit me. This thing, when he said these words, all I could remember is my kids, my wife. These moments, I wasn't with them. This is all I remembered. It's funny. I never thought of the business deals. I never thought of my bank account. I never thought of my awards or my recognition and all of these things. And then the reality hit me in my face. Like, what I have been doing? I mean, why? So growing up, I used to be a martial artist. I used to practice martial arts. And I remember my instructor, my sensei, used to tell me one sentence that back when I was a little kid or teenager, it didn't make sense to me. But on that table, it made sense. He used to tell me, if you fall down 6 times, make sure you stand up 7. Never get knocked out. And I mean, it didn't make sense back then. But I remember this. I was like, okay, no, I'm going to stand up. So anyways, to cut the story short, I asked the doctor to do the operation. So he did the procedure. He made me sign some papers. I didn't tell anyone, not even my family. And there was a big chance that I wouldn't even wake up. So I called my lawyer. I did my will and everything. And I was like, okay, if I wake up, I'm going to change things. And back on that table, before I closed my eyes, I just did 2 things. One is I looked up and I said, God, I might have forgotten you all of these years being very famous and everything. Now I'm weak and I need you, I know. So if I wake up, I'm going to change my career. I'm going to just give up everything. I'm going to start over. And this time for the real purpose. I'm going to take everything I learned and just put it into good use this time and be next to my family. And this is what I did. I woke up 12 hours later. It took me 8 months to recover. I dropped from 350 pounds in 8 months to almost 110.
Wow.
8 months, I couldn't eat anything. I was miserable. It was like suffering for 8 months. Now I'm good. I'm back in shape. Many things, I cannot eat many things for life now, but I'm adjusting. It's okay. But 4 years ago, I regained my strength. I went back to school. I got certified as health and life coach. And I started reaching out to my old colleagues and to friends and to people I don't know. And I started offering my services as someone who knows exactly every businessman and woman and every entrepreneur and every CEO, every successful, every top executive there, what he and she are going through and everything that they're thinking of. Like, we want to be successful. We don't have time to think of this. We don't want to compromise our career. Just 2 more years, 3 more years, 4 more years. And I'm reaching out to those people and I'm telling them, I'm here to help you. I'm not going to ask you to spend 2 hours every day doing 1, 2, 3, 4. No, we're going to start with small habit changes. It's like small hinges that swing big doors. And it's been amazing for years. I've helped over 100 top executive men and women to restore balance to their lives, to their relationship, to their health, to everything. It's been amazing. I'm enjoying this much more than I used to enjoy my previous work. And I have much less money since I gave up everything. But I'm happier. I'm much happier. I'm with my family. I'm with everyone.
I'm happy that you've had this journey, because now it's a good time to share, if you can, in a 30-minute podcast, what did that mean? What are the small wins? We are a big believer in the way the brain tells a story and visualizes. So this is a time for visualizing a new you, 150 pounds, maybe not 110, a whole life that's in better balance, something that you may not have even imagined before this happened. So part of this, the story you've told, is your own personal story. Now you're helping to change executives and their life stories. And they start with small steps. We call them small wins. It works the same. Share with our listeners a little bit about how they might embrace what you're talking about and start their own transformation. Do they need a guide? We can ask that later. But what is this that you're really talking about? How do they do it?
First of all, I start with 2 steps usually with my clients or with anyone that I meet. First thing is admitting that they need help. Everyone needs help. And there's a very important point that it really takes courage and strength to ask for help and not otherwise. Because most of people think, and I used to think the same, this is why I know it, that if we ask for help, it means we're weak and we need it. No, it means we're strong. We need each other. So this is the first step. The second step is just uncover your why. And this is the most important thing, because mm-hmm. from my experience, the first 15 times you answer the question why are wrong, it takes 15 times to get it right. We know this, and usually we sit in our comfort zone. And whenever we ask why we're doing this, our answer is to defend ourselves and to protect us and to shield us and yes. to keep us sitting yes. in our comfort zone. So I'll give you an example. It's a real example of one of my clients. She's a lady, and I love her, I admire her. She's top executive, well known. And I coach her on business and life. And one day she called me. This was like 2 or 3 months ago, just like a month after COVID hit. And she called me and she was like, hey, Matt, I need something from you. I was like, sure. She said, I need a session, early session. I said, okay, fine. Our session was scheduled like a day later. I said, sure. She said, yeah, but this is a special one and we got to keep it like really, really private. I said, sure. What do you want? She said, I want to lose weight. Like, oh, wow. We never thought about your health, because you're pretty healthy. So we talk about your life usually. She was like, no, I need to lose weight. I was like, okay, why? She said, because I want to lose weight. I said, why? She said, I want to fit in my new clothes. And then I kept on asking the why in many and forms. And she kept on answering these and I get on her nerves. And at the end, she yelled. She said, I want my husband to look at me again. I was like,
you needed 15 whys. Oh God, Matthew.
I said, this is the real why. You don't need to lose weight. We're going to work on something else. I mean, because of the COVID and because both of you guys are sitting home now and you're together and you're not used to this new routine. So we got to work on something. So it's just an example. I mean, I used to do the same. My wife used to tell me, my wife is very healthy and she's a yoga instructor for a long time now. And she used to tell me, why are you doing this? And I used to say, for you. She was like, no, you're doing it for yourself. I was like, no, I'm doing it for you and for the kids. I mean, these are the two steps I would say. Just ask for help and really uncover your why and do it with a coach, not alone.
Now, a word from our sponsors, Simon Associates Management Consultants. Simon Associates is us. And we love to help you see, feel, and think in new ways to help you and your business grow. We specialize in applying the tools and methods of anthropology, but we're also entrepreneurs and business builders. And we like to share our experience and expertise with you. So if you're stalled or stuck or starting up, give us a buzz and let's see if we can help you as well. You can learn all about us at simonassociates.net and read my book, learn about it at andysimon.com. There's a free chapter you can download and a toolkit you'll find very helpful. We're on Amazon and you can buy it as a book, an ebook, or even an Audible that I recorded myself. We look forward to hearing from you at simonassociates.net. info@simonassociates.net is right to us. Now back to our podcast.
But you need to do it with somebody else because the research is really fascinating because we're herd animals. You know, we like to be with other people and we need affirmation that who we are matters in some way. Uh-huh. And you can look in the mirror and be your own coach, but it's much better if you have somebody who's listening to your story and beginning to ask those whys till you finally come to the realization of what it really is that matters to us. And it's easy to create this illusion around it and live it and only see the stuff that makes you a very, you know, robust, successful man who says the words, it's for you, but isn't acting at it well. You don't even notice that it's doing it. This is really very interesting. One of the questions you had as we began our thing is, what does the word move mean to you? I think it's a profound question. You're smiling. Share with our listeners about what does the word move mean? Because I think our book coming out is called Rethink. What does it mean to rethink, to move? What is the handicaps to it and how do you do it? So, you know, share your thoughts.
Thank you for the question. Move has been the story of my life. I've been moving all my life. I mean, since the day I was born, if we take it in two parts, the physical part first, it's the physical moving. I can tell you some facts. Until the age of 13, I moved 4 houses. Until I graduated from school, I moved 13 different schools.
Oh, God.
Until I finished college, I moved 15 cities and 5 countries.
Wow.
So physically, it's been exhausting for me. I've been moving and not willingly. I've been forced to move either by war, either by anything that's happening around me. But now I realize that moving kept me going on and kept me just fighting everything. And otherwise, I would have just sat and given up. So the physical move is the story of my life, moving and moving and moving until now I settled here, home, finally. And the other part of move is the coaching. I have developed a coaching method that is called move. And this coaching method is called move. It's based basically, like in a nutshell, in how you can move and drag with you your comfort zone, because most of people love to sit in their comfort zone. And I get it. I do too. Yes. Hey, we've been building our comfort zone for so long and it's called the comfort zone. It's like a home for us.
Yes.
So we don't want to just leave it. And I'm I don't agree very much with people who say just challenge yourself and get out of your comfort zone. No, don't get out of your comfort. Just move and drag your comfort zone along with you.
It is so you are.
Absolutely, yeah. So this is the other move that is based on my story, on my personal experience of moving and moving and moving and reaching where I am today at my age and what I have accomplished. And I've been fighting and fighting. And sometimes you gotta just give up to some stuff and keep moving and see where it takes you. And I mean, I have an example on this, and it's a very important part of my life. It includes my family, honestly. And this is like maybe 15 or 20 years ago. I don't remember when. It's before I was married. So I was in Dubai, and my boss calls me, and he's American, and he was like, "Hey, Matt, we have a workshop coming up in Lebanon, Beirut, and we want you to be there to lead it." I was like, "No, I'm not going there." Like, yeah, you know the culture, you speak the language, and you're American and Lebanese, and you're perfect fit. And yeah, you're qualified. You forgot that. So I was like, no, you don't get it. Going back to Beirut brings out all the bad memories and all the war and everything. I love my country, my city, and my both countries, Lebanon and the US. I love them both. But it brings bad memories. And then he was like, "You are going." And I couldn't say no. He's my boss. So I went there, and it was 3 days workshop. And on the final day, on final night, just before the next day my plane takes off, I went really far to this hole in the wall coffee shop in the middle of nowhere. And it's a small place. I sat there and with my headphones, my music and my book, just reading and counting the seconds until the night is over. And just, I get on the plane, and it was overwhelming. And here's the beautiful lady comes inside this door, just inside the coffee shop, and she sits on the other couch. And the whole coffee shop is just two couches, by the way. And she sat there, and she puts her headphone, she takes out her book, and she orders an espresso just like me. And I looked at her and I smiled. I just got close to her and I nudged her. And without even looking at me, she answers, "I'm not interested." I nudged her again. She goes like, "Even if you were Bill Gates, I'm not interested. Thank you. Just leave me alone." I was like, "Oh my God, you are still mean." And she looks at me, she was like, "Oh my God, this is you." And this girl was my best friend from school. We used to run together. We used to hold hands. We used to hide in shelters. And today she's my wife and she's my partner and she's the mother of my kids.
Wow.
And I always tell the story. It's like I was fighting this trip and look what happened. I called my boss right away and I said, "Hey, boss, can I have one more week in Beirut?" I was like, "What happened?"
That's a life journey. You don't know what the next twist or turn is. But there is a path. And this is so brilliant because what you've done is now take your personal journey and turned it into something to share with other people. Man, what a gift, Matthew. And you and your wife are special. What a special journey. It just gives me chills. I'm so excited for you. So how long have you and your wife been married now?
Next week is our 10th anniversary.
That's just a beautiful opportunity to reflect on how you came together and what you're building now. You know, I'm listening to you, and everything that was isn't. Everything that is wasn't. It's like you become a new you. And as you're working with executives, are you helping them to become new people as well? Because I'm married to a serial entrepreneur. We've both been executives in both hospitals and banks. And there's a breed of executives who are certain, and they're in their offices and they project out and they know the world from inside out, not outside in. And I always was a corporate anthropologist who helped companies change. And change is the thing the brain hates. It fears it. It flees it.
Oh, yeah.
Amygdala, you needed a crisis. You had to get pushed into Lebanon. You had to have a life-threatening crisis to change your lifestyle. Are these folks you're working with able to do it without those things? Or do you create something like that? Is it simply the why questioning that you did with this woman? You know, share some of your observations.
It's a very good question, yeah. I help the executives, the entrepreneurs, to become a new version of themselves because they need to rethink their whole career and change. And by changing, it doesn't mean it's starting over. No, it's just taking all the experience they have, everything, and just turning into something better, something yes. with a real purpose, with a real objective. And yeah, we start with the why, just to set our target, just to set our objective. And then we start walking towards this objective. And I help them with small habits. So we start with small habit changes just to reshape the new or to steer them towards the new direction. And then I start changing everything. Now, sometimes it requires a shake or mm-hmm. something to change them. Sometimes they're not ready. And sometimes it just goes very easy. Yes. But most of the time, you said a very important point. Most of the time, it's not easy because no one likes change. We fight change and yes. we just don't like it. No, we like routine. And if we talk about from a scientific point of view, our bodies love routine.
That's right.
While our mind loves challenge. Mm-hmm. And here the most important thing is to keep the balance between the challenge of our mind and the routine of our body. Yes. And this is the balance that I work on, that keeping the routine there so we wouldn't fight it, and giving the challenge to the mind and the achievement and but in the right direction.
Love it. Well, it's just about wrap-up time. I've enjoyed every minute of this. As I'm thinking about the program we're developing for Rethink, we want to help women who, just like the folks you're working with, it's a good time to pause and rethink their own journeys because the past has become who you are. And the question is that what you want for your future as well? And sometimes you need a moment to pause and begin to rethink what has always been because the habits take over. You know, we want certainty. We want to protect our status. We want some autonomy. But, you know, the brain is really part of the whole body and it doesn't drive it by itself. There's a lot going on here. But it's very interesting because the habits take over. You don't even see what's happening. A couple of things you don't want them to forget. One or two or three things that are sort of our ending thoughts for the listener to walk away with and say, man, I need to do that, or that's really interesting, something to share.
The most important thing for them, I always base it on my own personal life just to make it more real. And growing up as a business person and shaped my career as a top entrepreneur, I never believed in coaching. And I used to call my friends and tell them, listen, coaches are just lazy people. And now I'm a coach and I know that I used to see it wrong. I see it from my own perspective. Uh-huh. So I was talking one day to one of my mentors, and he's a big name coach here. I respect him very much. He helped me a lot through this. And he held the phone, a mobile, in his hand, and he put it in my face, and he was looking at the screen, and he said, what do you see? I was like, what do you mean, a phone? He said, no, be more specific. I said, I see the lenses of a camera. And he said, no. I said, yeah. He said, no, it's a screen. I was like, I don't get it. He said, see, it's the same exact thing I'm holding. I'm looking at the screen, you're looking at the camera. Now let's flip it.
Yes.
And this is what you need to do. That's always right. Look at things from all sides. And to do this, you need a coach. It's like a game. You need a referee. You need someone who's not biased. You need someone who would help you through this. And I realized that, it's true. So I invite everyone just to seek a coach, seek someone for help, because we all need it, everyone. Absolutely.
I'm laughing because both my husband and I went through John Matone's training program to become executive coaches. And we do executive coaching. We don't market that. We help companies and people change. And how we do it has a whole bunch of different ways of doing it. And we try to tailor it to what they need as opposed to a way, no six steps. This is not pre-thought. It is a process of discovery and of small wins going someplace. It's an interesting journey. If they want to reach you for either coaching, you have a new book coming out in December, and that's very exciting. Tell us a little bit about the book.
The book is called Move.
I should have known.
I struggled with the name of the book. I changed it maybe 17 times. Then I reached the word Move because it tells my story, but in an exciting way. And then it has a lot of morale in it and a lot of fun stuff as well for Good. Everyone. So it will come up in December, by the end of December, to wrap up 2020, hopefully.
Well, I think that's great, because as you move into 2021, it's time to move. And I must say that this has been a very disruptive period in our lives. Mm. Nobody quite knows where we're going. But you are in a capsule, someone who has survived 13 different places, 42 different cities, all kinds of crises to push you. And we can thrive. We can overcome it. But we need to be a little humble and kind. Uh-huh. And I think humble and kind is a great way to begin to see life now. You know, it's you said pride before. That's how you felt. And now you sound more humble and kind. And it's our job to help you change. Thank you so much for today. I had no idea what we were actually going to talk about. And I have been thrilled at the conversation. So thank you.
Thank you. One final thing I'm going to say, if anyone needs to reach out, they can go to my website. It's www.matthewcorban.com. They can schedule free discovery session, because you mentioned a very important point as a coach yourself, and thank you for this, that there is no cheat sheet for any kind of coaching. It's customer. Each person is unique, and we tailor our program based on each person's requirement.
And it sounds like they do want to follow you someplace together, because our coaches will be in part of our lives as we grow. It's almost like you have a life and you want to share it, and your coach becomes an echo, a mirror, a teammate. It's a very powerful place to be. So for all of you who have been listening, thank you so much for joining us or watching. I'm going to leave this as video that we come out with as well. And I can only tell you that each time I bring somebody to share with you on the podcast, I learn. I hope you are as well, because the stories change our brains, and we begin to grow by listening and learning and experiencing life through others. It's really cool. Thank you for your emails. Keep them coming at asimon@simonassociates.net. It's just a great way for us to engage across the globe. And my book, On the Brink, A Fresh Lens to Take Your Business to New Heights, is on Amazon. It's one of the top five dudes, sometimes and sometimes not. But it's a great read for if you want to learn how a little anthropology can help you and your business grow. And it's all about change. So look forward to spending time together at our next podcast. I always feel like it's a conversation with 1,000 people, and I just don't see you. Someday I will. Take care now. Enjoy. Bye-bye.